Yarr! Let's have a look at that map again. Nobody around. 5 paces south from Rum Rock. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 3 paces west. 1, 2, 3. The treasure should be buried just beneath the surface. What's this? A compact disc? Grr! It's just show number 103 of Technorummer! Blast ye scuppers!
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Welcome to Technorama. This is show number 103 for April 24, 2006. This show is being recorded on location at SETI Alpha 5. I'm your host, Chuck Tomasi, and with me is the man who keeps telling me it's SETI Alpha 6. It's Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Hey, man. Check out my desert planet.
You got any of those little wormy things? They're great fried up and toasted.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Remember that book, How to Eat Fried Worms?
Yes.
You just made me think about that.
41 chapters. The shortest chapter was like 5 lines.
Yeah.
You know, first time I was in fifth grade and somebody said, hey, you got to read this book. It's 41 chapters. This little, you know, half inch, quarter inch paper book thing. I went, whoa, 41 chapters. That's a long book. And then you start reading into it. It's like you rip off about 10 chapters in 5 minutes.
Oh, man.
Good book, but we're not here to talk about books. We're here to talk about all things technology, science, sci-fi.
That's our next episode.
Take a lighter look at science fiction. Make sure the mute buttons aren't down at the wrong time.
Science fiction.
Science affliction?
Yeah, that too.
Doc, I got a science affliction. Coming up on tonight's show, we've got stuff made out of other stuff. Star Trek news, useless science facts, and how to build a tornado machine. All that to pique your interest, and more coming up right after On This Day in Tech History.
And scurvy!
Arrgh! On This Day in Tech History for April 24, 2006. This is April 24th, it's the 114th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 251 days remaining in 2006. It was on this date in 1184 BC, Greeks enter Troy using the Trojan horse. And in 1704, the first regular newspaper in the United States, the Boston, Massachusetts New Letter, is published. The United States Library of Congress is established when President John Adams signs legislation to appropriate $5,000 to purchase such books as may be necessary for the use of Congress on this date in 1800. And in 1913, the skyscraper Woolworth Building in New York City was opened. The 17th century Swedish ship Vasa is salvaged on this date in 1961. And on this date in 1967, cosmonaut Vladimir Komarov dies in Soyuz 1 when the parachute fails to open. He was the first human to die during a space mission. And the first Chinese satellite, Dongfang Hong 1, is launched on this date in 1970. And it was on this date in 1981 that the very first IBM PC is introduced to the public. Also on this date in 1984, Apple Computer unveils its Apple IIc portable computer. And in 1990, the Hubble Space Telescope is launched by the Space Shuttle Discovery. The last Chevrolet Corvette ZR1 rolls off the assembly line on this date in 1995. Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1899 to the Russian mathematician Oskar Zariski. And the Nobel Prize winning chemist Alan McDermid was born on this date in 1927. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for April 24th, 2006.
This is Tornado Tim, storm chaser from Greeley, Colorado, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Welcome back. We've got some listener feedback for you, from you. If you want to get in touch with us via the voice line, 206-222-CHAT is the number you can call. That'll send a voicemail file directly to us, or you can put Chuck Chat in your Skype play friend list. What do they call that? Buddy list.
Hey, are you feeling funny? Send us a fax. How about that? How about us do an all-fax show?
Ooh. Ooh, I'm not sure where to go with that one.
Just the facts, ma'am.
You have 937 messages, all of which are marked urgent.
Hello, gentlemen. Hey, it's me, Kevin. Hey, just listening to Wednesday's show and heard you talk about the batteries and the exit signs and such. And yes, exit signs do have batteries because even though they may be powered normally through the typical power, in the event of an emergency and the power goes off, those do have to be illuminated so that people know where the exits are. So yes, batteries do belong in exit signs. Okie dokie. See ya.
Thanks, Kevin.
Yes, we appreciate that bit of information.
It's Fire Marshal Kevin!
Hey, kids, don't do this!
Woof! He is absolutely correct. Hey, and did you know in Colorado they have green exit signs? And they're not only listed above the doors, but they're also listed down low about knee height. Yeah.
That's like me going somewhere else and seeing like a police car that has different colored lights on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just didn't look quite right. Like here, they're all blue, but some places you go and it's all like...
We have blue and red.
Red or something, yeah.
Do you know why the fire signs are green, the exit signs are green and down low? Think about it. Where do you want to be when there's smoke on the ceiling?
Oh, it's, of course.
Down low. Smoke. If you're down low, how are you going to see the flipping exit sign? And when the firemen come in and they see something red glowing on the ceiling, they squirt it!
Stop, drop, and roll. What's that song?
Hey, we're not singing on this show, are we?
It's Technorama time. Never mind.
Want to give a shout out to the chat room. We've got Beaker One, Digital Dan, Human Shield, Jeep and Dave, Joni K. All Right, Lance Heath, Mad Marv, Mark Shepard, Missing Intellect, Norb from the NorbTech.info podcast, Stingray 42, Tim Elliott, Victor Cahiao from the Typical PC User and Typical Mac User podcast. Oh, I should have said Lance Heath, the Digital Experience podcast. And Zahadoom.
Zahadoom.
And following that, we have only 1 week left in our Fit Frapper Smackdown, and we are doing a paltry last place, I think, in that thing.
Last place?
But thank goodness we're not getting nailed with the spam that the other Fit members are.
Well, I do remember them saying in the message board that it was golf rules, so we should be doing pretty good.
Oh, we get to count handicaps? We have a frapper handicap?
I call it do-over.
Mulligans.
Yeah, I'm calling a mulligan.
Gimme. He was close enough to putting his pin on the map.
Yeah. What's that over there in the tree line? Clunk.
Several things in the news. We've got one from the BBC. Computer users are being urged to update Firefox web browser to close serious security holes in it. some of the security lapses in Mozilla software, which Firefox is based on, could allow malicious hackers to hijack computers. Are there any other types of security risks? I mean, most of the time they are, you know, they're going to hijack your computer.
It could happen, but don't worry about it.
Why don't they put that locked door like they do to the cockpit on planes now? You can't hijack my computer. It's got a locked cockpit. So if you are using Firefox, please upgrade to 1.5.0.2, I believe is the latest one as of this show.
Yeah, I think mine's been updated since.
We've got a link in the show notes if you want to read more and more and more about that. Other things in the news, which I thought were kind of funny. A lot of these are from our roving news reporter, Mad Marv from Hawaii, who is in the chat room.
Hey, man.
We've got, oh, the people in the chat room are also listening to the stream, courteously provided by Scott Reynolds. So if you're in the chat room and you want to listen, check out the topic in the IRC channel and have yourself a ball.
Thanks, Scott.
First one is kind of obvious. It's titled, Sex Cues Ruin Men's Decisiveness.
Yeah, I would say so. We all got married.
In this, they in this article, they tested. I'm trying to be serious.
Yeah.
In this article, they tested men who were staring at, what was it, fields of wheat or something boring, and like a buxom woman, and they were asked to make decisions.
Hey, baby. I'll take the wheat for 10. Alex?
Buy 100 shares of Lenovo. We also wanted to add that the discoverer of plutonium has died. This is an interesting guy because he was only like 21. He finished high school at
radiation poisoning.
1938. He graduated high school and then he went. He was hanging around the labs at Berkeley, I think it was, and discovered they had theorized that this element was around, but he discovered it and it was later named plutonium. And then he got in cahoots with what's his name? The
Doc Brown?
Oppenheimer. Doc Brown.
Yeah, what the flux capacitor?
Marty! I stuffed it full of used pinball parts.
Do you know what this means?
I need something with a little more kick. So I got some plutonium from the Libyans.
Actually, I can hear it now as soon as they discovered it.
When's the last time?
21 gigawatts.
When's the last time we've done a show without a Back to the Future reference? They're going to add that to the Technorama drinking game soon.
That's right.
Other news story, we've got a woman has a case of Black Death. No, this is the bubonic plague. Now, this is the part that I don't understand. It says 10 to 20 people get the bubonic plague. It's not contagious from just contacting other people. It comes from infected fleas and, you know, it kind of tells the state of her housing arrangement if she's got fleas and rats and things crawling through there. But how can they say the woman had a case of bubonic plague? Isn't a plague something that sweeps the land? You know,
well, I think it's just the same thing that happened when there was the Black Death or the plague.
Yeah, it was like 1346 to 1351.
I mean, I just think that's the name of whatever she had. You know, I don't, because it was so disastrous. But you know, if I'm not mistaken, the plague was because there were so many. There was a lot of trash around and dirt and filth with and they had rats and stuff. That's where the Black Plague came around.
She lives in Detroit.
Excuse me?
She lives in Detroit. There goes our Detroit audience.
Yeah, right. Chuck said that. I didn't. So send all your emails to
Craig at chuckchat.com.
No. Pushing that off of me, buddy. Anyway, but you know what was funny, though, is I just watched an episode of House with my wife the other night, and that's exactly what they dealt with. And the next day, I see this article talking about the Black Plague, and I was like, wait, are they talking about the show? And I was like, no, that's totally true.
Life imitates TV again.
Yeah, right. Here's the kicker. We don't want this technology to be available to every hobbyist. That's enough. That's quite enough, Altu. Oh, he's messed with it. He must be the expert. So show us your editor. Marty, we need to go back in time. 1.21 gigawatts. Hey, I smell another intro, but here's the quote that really got me. Lipsum
a porum or whatever that is.
1.5.0.1.
I don't know what's wrong with my voice. I can't work like this. I'm out of here.
Now we're in trouble.
What kind of garbage is that?
This is John Chatterton from Deep Sea Detectives. You're with Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Hacks and Strange Stories.
Yes.
In the Hacks and Strange Stories, we've got a chair made out of bookshelves. This is rather interesting.
I totally looked at that and I was like, that is not practical. Where are you going to put your arms?
Does it matter?
I mean, I like to prop my arms up, especially if I'm holding a book, you know?
You need a swing arm shelf. You get one of those old dot matrix things or the things that you put your phone on at work.
Like the thing I use in the bathroom to hold my laptop. Oh, wait. I didn't just say that.
Did I say that out loud?
Yeah. Just use the hamper.
If you don't like the chair made out of bookshelves, you can get the chair made out of tires, which actually looks kind of comfortable.
Wait a minute. I haven't seen that. Let me pull that up here.
It's kind of like Firestone or Bridgestone or something.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. I like the pimping style of the cushions.
It even comes with a footstool.
I want some cool rims to go with that.
Get some spinners.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
Woo! Love this chair.
Yes. I saw this also. The next one was this Commodore PET retro type.
Do you even remember the Commodore PET?
Huh? Yeah, of course I do.
Okay, I'm just checking.
I was fascinated by that thing. I thought it was awesome. That's the same. That's what the article said about this guy. Said he was always fascinated with it. He thought it embodied the core vision of a PC, you know, just the way it looked and acted. But I don't know about all that. But anyway, I do kind of relate to that style, and I think that's pretty cool. He put a modern motherboard in there. So it's pretty cool. It's funny looking at the little monitor up top, and it's got the BIOS screen up.
Did a good job with it. I don't know where you found the case.
Oh, I bet you can probably find those all over eBay.
You think there's a Commodore PET on eBay?
You know what? I will go look.
You
right
go look,
now.
And I'll talk about the LED bonsai tree. Bonsai! Not a little tree, Danielson. Apparently, you can make... They show you the circuit boards and the resistors and the LEDs you'll need to make each little flower, and you connect a series of flowers together to make this pretty tree. And just another one of those geek projects while Craig is searching on eBay for a Commodore PET.
And here it is. Whoa, $200.
Is that a buy it now price? Or latest bid?
It just says that there's 6 bids, and that's what the current price is. So it's, wait a minute. You know what? That's out of country. It says shipping to USA. Anyway, it says vintage 1977 PET model 2001 8 blue computer. Sorry, it's kind of slid on that last part. The blue one. It's got blue housing around the monitor.
$200 seems a bit on the steep side.
That looks a little weird. Oh, it's an old one with a tape drive built into the beside the keyboard.
Yeah, the ones I remember had tape drives in them, cassette tapes.
But that might be anyway. This is another one for $100. So that complete with the little green monochrome monitor. So.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
The big news, in case you've been hiding under a rock, is... That's your cue to tell them the big news.
It's the new Star Trek movie has been announced that they're going to come out with it in 2008. I believe that's what it said, 2008.
Something like late 2007 or 2008, something like that.
Yeah, and 2008, and J.J. Abrams is helming it, which I think is interesting because he's actually just finished up with Mission Impossible 3.
And Lost.
Also responsible for Lost and all that good stuff, too. So when I read that, I was like, oh, thank God, something good pertaining to Star Trek. Not, you know, what's their names? Who's in charge of them now?
Paramount?
No, but it starts with the B.
Rick Berman? Branding.
Yeah, him and his crew. I don't know. I thought they kind of dropped the ball with Voyager and all that crap.
Well, they're kind of getting beat up on this stuff, though. If you look at, I think it's comingsoon.com. The message boards kind of went nuts on this because the premise of the movie is they're going to be taking Spock and Kirk and doing their Starfleet Academy days and their first mission. Although the storyline really hasn't been released, that's the general premise. It's a prequel. And look how well Star Trek Enterprise was met. It's like, and I was kind of folded on that.
Hey, I will say Enterprise was good that last season. And season 2 and 4 were good. 3 had that big long story arc that just I was pulling myself to finish out. I was like, I'm gonna stick with it. Because the first 2 seasons they were like, it was like, oh, check this out. Oh, check this. You know, we're starting to see stuff, and then all of a sudden they're in this conflict that lasts, you know, for the good part of the year. I'm like, they should have done that maybe later on after we really got to know everybody well. But well, even Next Generation, you know, was okay at first, but it took a good 2 or 3 seasons to really get legs under it.
That's true. You think they're going to get an actor that goes, Spock? Whoops. I hit the wrong button.
Ooh. Spock.
Spock. I hit the wrong button on my laptop.
Spock.
What's wrong?
What in God's name are you thinking?
They're going to get a young actor who overacts.
Yeah.
Here are the parameters.
Well, hey, we got one. It's the guy who wrote New Voyages. I should hire him. Actually, you know what? Would be cool if they took them guys, and gave them a nice budget and actually made a movie. I bet they could turn something out.
It'll be interesting. I'll be keeping tabs on this. Looks like I'm going to have a new movie poster or two to add to the collection in this room.
Yeah, I think it's about time, you know, for another big movie. I just hope, you know, it cannot be another flop.
I didn't think Nemesis was that bad myself.
I didn't think it was that bad, but the problem I had with it was that, so he's a clone of Picard. Why was he really that ticked off to go after him?
Part of his environment, I guess.
That's what I'm saying. It just wasn't enough motive for him to be all pissed off at Picard and wanting to, you know, kill him and all. I was like, I just don't get it. You know, Khan, yeah, he got left on a stinking planet. You know, yeah, there was some backstory there, but I don't know.
All right, let's go on quick to the 8-bit art gallery.
Hey,
if you click on
I'm
the link
ranting
in the
here.
You're done.
Yeah, the 8-bit art gallery. This is pretty cool.
You could be ranting all night. The 8-bit art gallery, all kinds of renderings of Pac-Man and Mario Brothers and Frogger. I mean, some of these are very good pieces of work, and they just took themes from various arcade games. At first, when I said 8-bit art gallery, I expected big blocky drawings, you know?
Yeah. No, it's the arcade games being the inspiration for this art projects. Anything from paintings to 3D sculptures and all that good stuff, too.
That was pretty good. So if you have an eye for art, go over and check out the 8-bit.
You know what? This
art
is totally
gallery.
Not the gallery that I saw. So maybe I should go see if I can find that link, because this is a little different from the one I saw, and I had a whole bunch of other pictures and stuff.
You go find that.
Hey, hey, over there.
Oh, I'm back.
Craig, we're reaching out to you. Now, the trick is, who's going to play it forward? That means the listener is great, and so is the feedback. No fooling, Jack.
That's cute, Chuck. Really cute. I like that, I think.
There's no I in team.
There's an I in Apple. It's an extension of virus.
That's a good geek way to put it. I like that.
This is Dan from The Hook Show. I want to thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to podcast. I won the expo ticket on show 50, and I sold it on eBay. The funds I received, I used to buy my podcasting equipment. Now I know the joy of podcasting for myself. Thanks again, Technorama 101.
We also have a couple other things in the main features section of our show. We've got 100 interesting science facts. Have you taken a look at these?
The science facts? No, yeah. I did not.
The speed of light is generally rounded down to 186,000 miles per second. In exact terms, it's 299,000 or 299,792,458 meters per second. That's equal to 186,287.49 miles per second.
Hold on. Head hurting.
So is a light year, you know, if you're calculating at 186,000 miles per second and you want a light year, you could be off by a big long distance. It takes 8 minutes and 17 seconds for light to travel from the sun's surface to the Earth.
Wait a minute.
That one I knew.
Speaking of that first one, of course we knew that. Remember Han said that to Luke about letting the nav computer?
I knew, but I think I figured that one out myself in about fifth grade. When I found out 93 million miles and I started doing the math, I'm like, wow. Of course, I was probably rounding the speed of light to 186,000 miles per second.
Yeah.
When Krakatoa erupted in 1883, its force was so great it could be heard 4,800 kilometers away in Australia. That's a heck of a volcano.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we have? Wow. In October 1999, an iceberg the size of London broke free from the Antarctic ice shelf. Astronauts cannot belch.
Oh, yeah?
There is no gravity to separate liquid from gas in their stomachs.
I guess there goes that theory about passing gas in the spacesuit.
I should do like a useless facts from Richard Vobe's show. I'll get Julie to read some of these out.
Yeah. Actually, why don't you get her to read some of these out for our show?
I wouldn't be able to read number 40. We'll leave that one to the listener to go look at.
Okay. A thimble full of neutron star would weigh over 100 million tons.
I was watching Futurama yesterday. And they had the dark matter one. They said a pound of this weighs 10,000 pounds.
Here, yeah. It's like, boom, a pound of this weighs 10,000. That was pretty good.
I had to rewind to make sure I heard that right. I'm like, did he just say what I think he said? It's like, a pound of this would weigh what is, you know, normally weighs 10,000 pounds. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
That's funny.
That's pretty good. All right, where are we?
I have no idea.
Oh, we're coming up on the Tri-Geek, but first, let us break a moment.
Yeah. Will you marry me?
No, I can't do this.
That's my favorite part!
We are happy that we are married now.
No! No!
It's on the internet now. You're done.
This is Dan from The Hook Show. And you are listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig. 101, guys.
Hey, this is Kevin Devon.
And this is George Starcher of In the Trenches.
The podcast for systems administrators and IT professionals at kevindevon.com.
And you're listening to Chuck Chat Technorama.
And now, back to the geeks.
There are no geeks here.
I resemble that remark.
He didn't even call us by name, so you could be replaced.
Yeah, here's that other geek.
Of course, it could be about the same
it's
as ours.
To play Try a Geek.
Try a Geek is a game we're playing on Technorama to test your geek prowess. We'll give out three geek words from tech, science, literature, and media that have some association. If you think you know what the association is, send your answer in an email to game@chuckchat.com. Points are awarded based on the difficulty of the clue, 1 to 3 points. You only get one guess per game, so make it a good one. We'll keep track of the scores in the wiki at chuckchat.com/wiki. Good luck, and here are your clues. Tonight's clues are Gort, Marvin, and Grievous. This is worth 2 points if you think you know the association. Gort, Marvin, and Grievous.
That's the three things you feel when you get a speeding ticket.
Don't shout it out in the chat room or you sacrifice your points. The other thing we forgot to mention was how to build your own tornado machine. There are instructions on the show notes on how to build a tornado machine. I think we get enough of them around here that you don't need to build a machine to get them. Yeah. But for those of you who want to know what it's like to live in Wichita, Kansas, and what Mark Shepard has to go through, there's a document.
So, a document?
And in bold, it says, only build this machine for yourself. Like you're going to market these things. You know, it'd be just like Steve Jobs to go, hey, I think we could sell some of these.
Yeah, the iTornado.
All right, 2 points for that Try a Geek. And we've got one more thing in the Geek Library. Where did you find this?
I was actually screwing around on YouTube, and, you know, it's easy to, you know, run up on stuff that you're just like, what the? But this is funny.
This is hysterical.
Were you into comic books?
A little bit, not too much.
Okay, well, you know, there was the Secret Wars that was in Marvel, and that's when Spider-Man got his black costume and the whole works. Well, instead of a Civil War reenactment, this is a video showing the Secret Wars reenactment. Here's people dressed up as Wolverine, Spider-Man, and every character that was in that series.
And they go to the park every Saturday, and they reenact these battles. And, you know, this lady drops off her kid, and then they go, hey, wait a minute, I thought there were no kids in here. And it just gets really ridiculous at the end. You've got to watch this thing all the way through.
I think it's pretty ridiculous at the beginning, but I like it.
The Hulk with his big hands trying to pick up a Frisbee. I mean, just nonsense like that.
It's really funny. The one guy's on the cell phone. He's like, hold on a second, guys. I'm doing a tech call. Okay, Mom, what version of Windows are you running? That's pretty funny.
Those are good. So if you want to see a really good video, I don't know, this may have gone in the media corner, but the Geek Library is where we stuck it this time. Good stuff.
Yeah. So we're sticking it to you.
And with that, we are wrapping it up.
Yeah. Once again, it's time to say goodbye.
And now
to the end. To Zyodoom and all his friends. Anyway. Sorry, I just saw his name pop up. So here we go. Here's how you can contact us. Call us on the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. It's 2428. Send some listener feedback our way. You can email us at ChuckChat. No. Yeah, you can email us at ChuckChat. You can start with Chuck at ChuckChat.com. Send audio comments to ChuckChat@gmail.com or email Craig as K-R-E-G. That would be me at ChuckChat.com. And by the way, I want to see a couple of faxes come in for next week just for the heck of it. You know,
all you got to do is send a real fax to the same number, 206-222-CHAT. It'll do faxes or voicemail.
Yeah. Anybody still using faxes? I can send one from work.
I think we have a fax machine. I send it periodically here and there.
Well, this show is a member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Oh, quick note, our John Chatterton interview will be up on the feed on Tuesday. We did get that finished. We did get it edited up, and it is posted ready to go. So Tuesday morning, you should see that posted to the Technorama feed. Good interview. It's a little on the long side, about an hour and what? 6 minutes.
An hour six?
An hour six.
45 is what you were talking
about. No, we were. I wanted to get it closer to 45. We were talking to him for an hour and a half. But a lot of that was before and after show.
He was
stuff
pretty good, though. He was fun to listen to. So it shouldn't be too long in the ear.
Long in the ear. Yeah. Hey, if you're getting this show by clicking on the link on the website, consider subscribing to the show to get it automatically delivered to you for free. Drop either one of us an email if you have any more questions or information about that. The easiest way is to download Apple iTunes, but there are plenty of other ways. Please. Tell a friend about Technorama. Be an apostle. See an iPod. Give them the pitch. Till next time. Thanks for listening. And give me a binary high five, Craig.
101.
Bye now.
Time to bury this show for the next lowly swab.